Galatians chapter 1, if you turn there, please, and consider what it means to follow God, not man. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Of course, God didn't call these Galatians to another gospel. Some man was involved in that, or men. Which is not another, but there be some which trouble you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men, or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I received it not of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you can see, obviously, that men were beginning to influence the thinking of early Christians. And the same thing happens over and over and over. People tend to flock towards men or groups of men and look to them for solutions. Really, the only solutions in life that are worth anything come from God Almighty. Acts chapter 4. We'll pick this up in verse 5. Acts 4, verse 5, came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many which were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together. And when they had set them, Peter and John, when they had set them in the midst, they asked him, by what power or what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people, elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone, referring to Jesus Christ, which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. The very criteria for the building. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So, when they further threatened them, They let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for what was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle was of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said of them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and were all filled with Holy Ghost, and they spake the word with boldness. Look in look at chapter 5. Verse 12. So they didn't like this, obviously. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were added the more to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities and round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks unto them, which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which were the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with that indignation, laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth, and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they which were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain and the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then they came and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. But when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, and I'm sure it was pretty vicious the way he delivered this, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles, answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And you can't obey God if you don't follow God. You've got to follow God, you've got to follow his words, and make up your mind that what men say is inconsequential in most of the time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Peter knew that those guys were murderers, so it took some Took some guts for him to stand up to them, but stand up to them he did. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. But as we were allowed, this is their attitude, of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Now that's Paul, Silvanus, Timothy. That was their attitude, allowed to be put in trust with the gospel. It's a privilege. And if men don't like what they hear, oh well. It's more important that we please God than we please man. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Back a couple of books. Ephesians 6 and verse 6. Not with eye service. You know, this is what people are looking at you. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Doesn't matter if anybody sees what you're doing. And it should be based on somebody watching you. It should be based on what's in your heart. James chapter 4. You follow God, not man. People are so eager to get a man to follow, thinking that some man is going to solve their problems. This was overtly evident in the recent election that we have witnessed here in our country. It's just ridiculous. These people are not the Savior. I don't care who they are. I don't care if your candidate got elected or not. It's God who produces the real important things to life. James chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war and yet have not, because ye ask not. Sounds like our world today, doesn't it? You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lists. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You double-minded, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Philippians, please. Chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 17. Now here we have a switch in what I've been saying and reading to you from the Scriptures, where the Apostle Paul says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which so walk, as you have us for an example. Well, it's really quite simple. Men like Paul and those who companioned with him followed God. And if you're like the Bereans, if you receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the Scriptures daily whether those things are so, you find that Paul and those who companioned with him did what the Scripture said to the best of their ability, and gave an example of how to do it. Look also in Matthew chapter 4. The greatest man of all, of course. He had somewhat to say of this. Matthew. Chapter 4. And skip down to verse 19. Well, verse 18, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It's an unusual statement. An unusual phrase, but it means to catch men. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you put a hook in your mouth. It just means that the words that you speak to them will entice them to believe the truth. Look in Matthew 8 and skip on down. To verse 18, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said to him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. No certain dwelling place, didn't own a home. Didn't lay down any roots. And another of his disciples saith unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Basically what he was saying, let the city take care of it. Let those who don't care about spiritual matters, those who are spiritually dead, let them take care of it. Go to Matthew 9. There's a lot of this in the Gospels. Jesus had full authority to say, follow me, because he did always the Father's will. Matthew 9, verse 9. Jesus passed forth from thence, saw a man named Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Matthew 16. We could spend a lot of time looking at all the different encouragements that Jesus Christ gave for others to follow him. Matthew 16, verse 24. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Excuse me? It's not. It's verse 24 I want. Sorry. Thank you, Sue. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, that's his burden, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, in other words, put all the effort into his own personal life, shall lose his life. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? Well, there's no end to what a man would give for his life, is there? Matthew 19. And skip on down to verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life. He wanted to earn it. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? That's quite a statement, huh? There is none good but one, and that is God. It sounds so different from what people today would say of themselves. Well, and others would say of them, this is a good man. The Lord Jesus Christ said, why are you calling me good? There's one good, and that's God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he, the man, said unto him, which? He wants to pick and choose. Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, and that just means complete, you want to complete it, go and sell that thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard it, when he heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. In the last times of the Bible, they had walls around the city to keep invaders and enemies out. And they had a main gate that they would open during the day, but in the evening, they'd close that. And there still would be one way that you could get in, and that was called the Eye of the Needle. But a camel who was burdened would not be able to just walk through there. He would have to get down on his knees and kind of hump through there. No pun on camels. So in relationship to a rich man would have to unburden himself, relieve himself of all his wealth and possessions, and get down on his knees, humble himself to get through this tiny entrance, or stay on the outside. Luke chapter 9. I just picked out a few. We're coming to the end of them. Just give you an idea. And skip on down to verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. It's not about you. It's about God and his Son. And take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, which is what most people do, shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away? And whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you the truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. John, please. This is the last gospel record, and then we'll look at a couple of epistles briefly, and then we'll call it good. John chapter 10 has that tremendous verse in there. The thief cometh not, but to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said of himself, I come put it all together and save man, basically. But I want to go down to verse 27, where we read, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You know, with sheep, in an actual sheep, they do know the master's or the shepherd's voice. They don't just go to anybody. Just like your dog knows your voice. It's your dog, he knows your voice, knows his name. It's a tremendous reality. 1 Corinthians. Now we're going to chapter 11. That first verse. "Be ye," again, this is Paul, "followers of me." But here's the key. "Even as I also am of Christ." So we follow God, not man. And of course, the Son of God, we follow him because God anointed him and God gave him the commission and he is the Savior. But here you have Paul saying, "Be followers of me." Actually, the word follower is imitator. But the criteria is, "Even as I am also of Christ." You don't just blindly follow somebody simply because, I don't know, they've gained some popularity or they're a reverend or they're a, you know, famous person or something. Do they follow Christ? Well, how would you know if they follow Christ? You be like the Bereans. Again, I'll mention that. You receive the word with a readiness of mind and then search the scriptures whether those things are so. And finally, Ephesians chapter 5. "Be ye therefore followers of God," it's imitators of God, "as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." And then it tells you what not to do here. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking," I've heard plenty of that over the years, "nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light," it should read, "is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things which are reproved are made manifest by the light." Because light makes everything clear, doesn't it? "Whosoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Don't think you have forever, because you don't. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a little bit about following God, not man. Don't be so quick to follow men. Most of the time, it's a wolf ticket, a wild goose chase. You don't want to do that. Thank you, Father, for the privilege and opportunity of sharing your word. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity, the honor of being able to follow our Lord Jesus Christ and to follow you, and even to follow the footsteps of the Apostle Paul and others like him who followed Christ. As we look at your word and as we trace those footsteps throughout the annals of the scripture. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.